Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Football Friday. Matt Catrillo here with you today. Steve is usually in the Sunbury Motor Studio, but today he is in the air as Steve is en route from Charleston to Rutgers for Penn State Rutgers tomorrow afternoon right here on WKOK with the 3:30 kickoff and the 2 p.m. tailgate show with Steve and Jack and the rest of the gang from Rutgers. So, Steve, en route today to that. So I'm taking you through this Football Friday here on the Steve Jones Show. But Steve, of course, when he's here, he's in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. And you have a sales staff that is there for you and not just there for the sale. And a service department that is there with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance, many awesome technicians ready to serve you. But more awesome technicians are being sought by SMC because the business just keeps on going. So they're looking for entry-level or experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment, and towing departments. So whether you're looking for your first job, you're looking for a career change, or you're just looking for a new job, got some experience in the field, you can always stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or call Todd at 286-7746. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Get stocked up for the weekend. Another full NFL weekend coming up. Eagles, Colts, Steelers, Bengals. You got Penn State Rutgers, of course, tomorrow. Friday night football still across the area. If your team is still alive, you got to get stocked up now. Going to be a cold one this weekend, too. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. That's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So today we are going to get you set for Penn State Rutgers tomorrow here on WKOK. We'll replay Fox Sports Tim Brando at 3:35 today. Of course, he joined us last week as he had the call on Fox for Penn State, Maryland. So we'll replay that at 3:35 today at 4:06. The voice of Rutgers, Chris Carlin. We'll replay that at 4:06. He joined us earlier in the week. And then at 4:35, we'll have Neil Rudell from the Altoona Mirror. We'll replay that at 4:35 today. And coming up next, we'll start things off with Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record, who also joined us earlier this week. So a lot to get to and recap as we get set for Penn State and the Scarlet Knights tomorrow at 3:30. We'll continue right after this here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Back here on the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is en route to Rutgers, probably in the air as we speak, as he heads back and forth between Charleston and Jersey, between Penn State basketball and Penn State football, of course, tomorrow. So I'm taking you through the show here today on this Football Friday. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. So we're here to get you set for Penn State Rutgers tomorrow. And Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record joined us earlier this week for his thoughts on the matchup tomorrow afternoon.
Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, joins us. My friend, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Steve. How has the season gone so fast? Give me a reason. Give me an explanation.
It's amazing how there's 10 down, and now all of a sudden you get to game 11. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
as this, we know how hard James Franklin and his staff have recruited with the idea of obviously getting more to athleticism and so forth, but part of it was to get more depth into the program. Are we seeing the dividends of that right now?
Absolutely. You set me up because that's the offensive line, right? Yeah. Right there is the depth, I think, because where else could you, I mean, can you imagine losing three starters like they have and being able to replace them, and not just replace them, but, you know, one of the guys they're replacing with had never started a college game, had hardly played any snaps, meaningful snaps,
right,
in Drew Shelton. And, you know, take out the competition, who they're playing or what time. I mean, it's still two Big Ten games. And their offensive line didn't look a whole lot different the last 2 weeks. And that's a big credit to them.
What have the tight ends meant in conjunction with the two freshmen in the running game?
Well, I mean, you know, I have a tendency to focus on those guys as receivers, but because they're so good at that, or they showed flashes of all of them being really good at that. But the blocking, I think, is, I mean, Brenton Strange to me is the most improved player on that team from what we can see. And his blocking, and the other guys as well, but I mean, you've seen prime examples of it. Tyler Warren, I think it might have been Nick Singleton's first touchdown run, with a great block. And sometimes that stuff gets overlooked, but tremendous addition. And the way that I think that Mike Yurcich has adjusted to having these guys as a big strength in both capabilities, receiving and blocking. And I love the full house backfield, or the wing T, or however you want to describe what they're doing. I think it's become really hard for defenses probably to try to defend them now, because you don't know what they're doing even out of that formation from every given play, right? That's the creativity of using your strength. And I think it's a huge factor for them.
How have you felt the last few games, really over the last month, of watching Mike Yurcich and Manny Diaz call their respective games?
Well, I think Mike Yurcich, I love the form, like I think just what I said, the formations that they're using, the multiple tight ends, and being able to shift out of that. You know, it's one thing to line them up and know you're in short yardage and run Nick Singleton or Catron to the right or the left, but to be able to pre-snap, shift out of that and do different things, whether you're down in a red zone or anywhere on that field, to me, that's taking your strength and just using it and being versatile with it. So to me, that's great. You know, that's gives, maybe Penn State's offense doesn't have everything it had at times in previous seasons, but this is what they're really good at. This is what they do have. And I think they're fully now, maybe not as much as early in the season, but now fully taking use of that. And Manny Diaz, I think, is, you know, everything seems to be based a little bit more on pressure and aggressiveness. But I think it's worked really well. If you look at the whole season, take a step back and look at the whole season. Okay, so Michigan, defensively, the second half didn't go well. But everything else, I mean, the last few minutes against Ohio State, but that wasn't completely on the defense, I think has, I mean, you got to hope he sticks around, right? I mean, you hope he sticks around.
Yeah. When you've had the opportunity to either talk with or be a part of the group that is standing there listening to Sean Clifford, how has he handled everything?
Well, I think he's handled that part of things really well, and that's one of the reasons why he's been your captain for multiple years and why he's been your leader. He's done those things exceptionally well. And I think it's got to be killing him in some ways, you know, because his team didn't win the games he really wanted them to win and didn't look as good in certain ways offensively doing it. But he still has to face the music, and he has to represent his entire team when he comes out there. And I think he's handled that really well, because it would be easy for most people to have a little bit of an edge, you know, to have a little bit of an attitude. I think he's done a great job. And, you know, and you see it that he's a business guy now, right? So
yes.
I think a lot of this plays into why you welcome that guy back with open arms, and I think he's upheld that.
Because I think it's obvious, I mean, when you're sitting there, and they're still out warming up at the time, that when they go through the starting lineups on the video board and he comes up, there is a mixed reaction in the stadium. I know he hasn't really said much about it, have his teammates.
Right. Well, and the thing is, when you come to a place like Penn State and you're going to be the quarterback, mm-hmm. and you're going to take, you're going to be the lightning rod for, you know, the things that don't go well and maybe get a lot of credit for the things that do. And I think you to be successful, you have to understand that that's coming your way, mm-hmm. and to be able to deal with it, or you're never going to be able to handle that position. I think he knows it. But knowing it and dealing with it are two different things, and I think he's done it. And, you know, be honest. We all know that he has not played probably in certain ways the way he expected or wants to. Uh-huh. But you can't change it at the end of the game, right? You still have to deal with it.
Yep.
And I think the way that he leads and the way that his energy is, I think, really helps pull things together for them, you know, has kept them together.
Penn State has 26 tackles for losses and 13 sacks in the last two games. What are you seeing now that maybe you didn't see in the opening 5-6 weeks of the season?
I think their depth there, one. I think a lot of this roster, especially defensively, is built on younger talent. I think I would say a lot of their best talent is their youngest talent. And I think guys that are getting more experience defensively, and I think you saw it the first drive of the game, Zane Durant, you know, flashing in. You've seen it with Denied Dennis Sutton at different moments as the season going on. I mean, Abdul Carter is getting better. I'd almost make a point that maybe he has been more impactful with big plays as a rookie than Micah Parsons was. But it's all time. You know, it's all taken time for some of those guys to feel more comfortable. And like a guy like Kazai Izzard, you know, he didn't even play the first few games.
Right.
James made a mention, you know, quickly. It would have been nice kind of to have him for the first part of the season, but it's going to take him a little bit of time. I think it's taken Adisa Isaac time to get back from his injury. All those things has, you know, and that they're able to play their best as we hit November, which a lot of teams cannot do, I think says a lot about their depth and their youth and their motivation, and it's a good combination.
As you're watching the game on Saturday, same thing the week before too, Carter, Brown, how impressed were you by the speed of that defense and how they run?
I think that's what a big recruiting point has been, right? But
yeah.
Abdul Carter chasing down the quarterback, wow. I mean, and he hasn't, and we were there the first day that young man walked on the campus. It wasn't until June. So right. He hasn't been through their program for an entire year. He didn't enroll early. People forget. I mean, that's some of the promise we're talking about, and that speed, you can't teach that. You can help it, I guess, when it's on campus, but you can't completely redefine it. And those guys have it. And the defensive backs that they're also bringing in, you know, if they sign these guys in December, are some of the fastest guys yet to come to join the team coming up from Florida. So I think that's huge because, you know, if you want to beat Ohio State, right, you have to be able to defend their speed. And I think Penn State's a lot closer in certain ways than they were a few years ago.
The kicking part of it. Jake Pinniger on kickoffs, and then what you've seen, I mean, he's now 11 of 13 in field goals. What kind of difference is he now making?
He looks like a different kicker to me the last 2 weeks in particular. I mean, confident. And that ball that he drove from 50 yards, a first field goal last Saturday, I mean, how that would have been, the look from the press box, like it might have been good from 60 or more. I mean, that's how strong that kick was, and I don't think he's looked like that earlier in the season. And you know, he's lost his starting job. Says a lot for him to stick with this. Become a trend, it kind of, with Penn State kickers in a way, right? They kind of have some tough goes of it, and they come back and they hang in there. I mean, Sam Ficken was a good example.
Yeah.
Robbie Gould had his struggles at times at Penn State, but all the credit to Jake, because now you trust. I think it's trust, White, with your specialist. And to me, there's no doubt I would trust him emphatically the rest of the season. He just has his groove, and I think it's his hard work and staying with it. But the last 2 weeks, 250 yards, and then not in good condition, Steve, right?
Right. I mean, that's what strikes me. The conditions were not great, yet Chris Stahl, the snaps gripe. Arnie Amore, the holds right, and then he plants that leg, and the plant's not going to be easy, and he's still hitting it.
Oh, and I think, and maybe this is wrong, because I don't coach, and I'm not on the field, I'm not a kicker, but to me, there's just a confidence you can see with certain guys. I don't know. I kind of sense it. Like, I remember Sam Ficken in that Ticket City Bowl. At the end of that game, that field is slippery and terrible, and he had a heck of a pressure kick to keep that game going. But
yep.
To me, there was almost no doubt I felt like he was going to make it. Same with the kick in Ireland. I just thought he's going to make it. You just feel it. I don't know. And that's the way I felt about Jake on Saturday.
Frank, it is always a pleasure. Great to see you on Saturday, and I look forward to seeing you again soon, my friend.
Absolutely. Good week. Good trip coming up.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it, Frank.
Take care.
And that is Frank Bodani of the York Daily Record, who joined us earlier this week. Coming up later on in the next half hour, we've got Tim Brando from Fox Sports. He joined us last week. He had the call of Penn State, Maryland. We'll replay that at 3:35 today. Then the voice of Rutgers football, and also you hear him on ESPN Radio, Chris Carlin. We'll replay that at 4:06. Then Neil Rudell from the Altoona Mira in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors. And, of course, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Back here on the Steve Jones Show, Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve is out of the Sunbury Motors Studio today as he is en route to Jersey for Penn State Rutgers tomorrow, going back and forth between Jersey and Charleston, between Penn State hoops and Penn State football. It's Penn State and Rutgers tomorrow right here on WKOK with the tailgate show at 2 and kickoff at 3:30. But Steve, of course, always in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Get stocked up for another fun-filled football weekend. Well, as we continue getting ready for Penn State and Rutgers tomorrow afternoon, Fox Sports' Tim Brando had the call of Penn State, Maryland last week, and he joined us to preview that game, but also give a little bit of a season overview of Penn State and the rest of what he's seen across college football.
Now my guy's here.
He is the best, right? In this business, there's just certain people you just look at and go, yep, there's one of the greats. Tim Brando, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be back with you.
I think Kent State, maybe Buffalo, last couple times you were in here?
Yeah, I think that was the last one. I was asking your producer, what year was that? Do you remember? I think that was an opener, or close to an opener, maybe the second or third week.
Yeah, something like that. So it's just good you're going to get back in here. And not only that, it's a Big Ten game.
Yeah.
On top of that.
So I'm excited about it. I am.
Yeah.
I'll get the full Happy Valley treatment this time. Right?
Yeah, you'll get the full treatment this time as to what's going on. Conference game. You get to pronounce Tonga Viola all day. That's great.
The last really meaningful game, big time game that I did was pre Big Ten. It was the late Vince Dooley and I came in to do it, and Major Harris was coming off a run to the national championship in the game against Notre Dame the year before.
Yeah, the Fiesta Bowl.
So it was the 89 season, and Penn State, West Virginia was a big, I mean, big game. And it was a great environment. I want to say it was a little bit wet. I had a little rain on the terrain there in Happy Valley.
Yeah.
And it was just a wonderful place to be. Oh. You know, Penn State, and that stadium is a fantastic one. And it was one of the very few, Steve, I was familiar with. When I started doing Big Ten games, I'd never been to the Shoe, I'd never been to the Big House, but I had been to State College, and it's obviously a much bigger place now, much more vast. You know, over 100,000 now. It wasn't at that time, but Beaver Stadium is, I don't care how many people are in the stands. Beaver Stadium is hallowed ground.
Yeah, well, let me give you a fun side story on that 89 game. Right, they come in now the year before, and I don't have to tell you, Tim knows.
Yeah.
West Virginia was great, and they beat Penn State down in Morgantown. So they come up into Beaver Stadium, and of course the Mountaineer comes in, and he has the gun. Right? And Joe Paterno sent out instructions to the people. He says, he's not allowed to fire that gun in the stadium. And they're following him all over the place all day as a side note. I'm sitting in the broadcast booth going, okay, that's don't watch it. Don't watch that.
Well, I had my Penn State opportunities before I got into the booth. I was sort of the host/sideline guy on CFA football in 86. That was a big introductory season for me at ESPN. It was before we started College Game Day. And I got to call from the sidelines and host Penn State at Boston College. I'd come down for a Penn State game at home. Oh, my gosh, that same year. I'm trying to remember who it was that played, but it was in the 86 season. Mike Patrick and Pat McAnally were calling the games, and I was, 30 years old and just a little raw, a little green, and my quest was to get my literal quest was to get Joe to stop, to get Bud Thalman, the SID at that time, to get Joe to stop so I could interview him when the game was over. And Bud told me that I would be, and this was a game that was, it might have been, in fact, I think it was maybe, it was at West Virginia that particular year, I want to say. We might have been at West Virginia, the 86 game that Penn State played West Virginia.
Penn State shut him out. Yep.
Yeah, Bud told me if I wanted to get Joe, I would be very wise to go out to the team hotel on Saturday morning and do his brother George's radio show. I'm telling the truth, okay?
Yeah.
I said, okay, well, where are you guys staying? And it was, Morgantown didn't have a lot of places. Yeah. And to get anywhere from Morgantown meant, as many two-lane highways as you have coming into Happy Valley, okay?
Yeah.
So I got up at dawn and began my drive to the hotel to visit with George. And I don't know who the co-host was, but, you know, I just knocked on the door of the hotel room and went in and did the show. And so now the game's over, and I'm running towards Bud. And I said, Bud, I did the show. Now get him.
And that
was the thing, was just getting Joe was running. He was always running. And yeah. Bud had to run him down from behind him, and he was like, no, he's tough. But Brando did the show with George.
And you know where it was? It was in Washington, PA. It wasn't even in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Because that's where he stayed. He's like, my goodness.
Yeah.
Those are great
memories. I've got some old pictures from that that I'll be putting out on social media tomorrow.
That's awesome.
You can take a look at them.
That's great. Hey, what do you think of the state of college football is right now? You go around, you see it all the time. You have definite opinions of it. Now the college football playoff rankings are out. So what do you think? How good is the game right now in your opinion, pro and con?
Well, I think it's wonderful. And
yeah.
All the doomsayers back in the summer that were saying, oh, the NIL and the transfer portal is just killing the game, and it's awful, it's not the game that we remember, and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Those same people, and I know who they are because they're all of my generation, most of them were, you know, 60 or over, predicting this doom and gloom. And I'm like, did you enjoy last week? Yeah, those were unbelievable games. And, you know, they were. College football is always going to deliver, you know. And if you're looking at it solely from your team's point of view, you may not get it. So, you know, as you know, I don't root for any teams. I may root for a few people that I like more than others, but I don't root for teams. I do root for the game. I want the game to grow. I want the game to be bigger and better than it is. And I think we're well on our way to that being the case. I'm frustrated, as I always am this time of year, when the committee has these godforsaken Tuesday night shows. Fortunately, most of America was watching election coverage last night, as opposed to watching the dog and pony show that poor Reese Davis and all those game day guys have to do by contract. I know they don't want to do it, because all you do as you watch that show is get pissed off. There's a level of pissed off after one segment, and then by the time they get to the third block, you're ready to just throw, you know, substances at the television set, you know, when you hear these conversations. And everybody involved, including Boo Corrigan, who is the late, great Gene Corrigan's son, who was a outstanding athletic director at Notre Dame and later ACC commissioner, was one of my dearest friends. And Boo and his brother Tim, who was a producer at ESPN, they're both great friends of mine. But, I mean, they give him these talking points, and he contradicts himself with every statement. Every guy that's ever been in that position contradicts himself with every statement he makes. And they're just talking points that make no sense. And until we go to 12, and I really believe before we get to 12, I think they're going to settle on 16. That's my little...
I agree. Yeah, you and I agree on that. Yep.
I think television is going to force them, when they look at the numbers, Steve, they're going to realize how much money they're leaving on the table by not having more volume and inventory, and the heartache for teams 1 through 4 that don't get a home game, and teams 5 through 8 that do. So why not allow 1 through 4 to play and give 13, 14, 15, and 16 a shot? You don't, you know, you've got a bye week in there. You're not going to lose any, you know, it's not going to make it any longer, the process. You're just going to have more games, and more games means more revenue. So I think they will settle at 16 when they finally get to that finish line, whenever it is, but between now and 2026. But the state of college football, in my opinion, has never been better. And the coaches that have learned and embraced the changes that have been brought forth from NIL and the transfer portal are doing really well. And those that aren't or haven't are struggling with it. And if they're And if they're at a point in their careers where they feel like, you know, I just don't want to go through this, then they can retire. Okay.
Yeah.
And if they aren't, then they're going to have to embrace it. They're going to have to adapt with the times. And I think for the most part, they have. So I feel like the state of the game is really good. We need to regulate the portal. I think everybody understands that. And if these four Senate elections that are still out there end up in the Republicans' corner, then I think we'll find a way to get some regulations done. I do. I think if two parties are at a tug of war, I think that it's going to be hard to get anyone to listen to something as trite as an issue in college football. But yeah. I think if you have one party in control of both the House and the Senate, I think there'll be some willing ears in terms of trying to protect the game of college football. So we'll see. But I do think that it needs to happen. And it's not like the ship is so far out to sea that we can't get it into more calm waters. I think we can find a way. We're not going to bring it. You're not bringing the ship back into the dock, but you need to find some calmer waters for what we're doing with the transfer portal so we can stabilize it some. That's what's needed.
Right. I agree completely with that. Any thoughts on, and as you've done your homework on this Penn State football team to this point?
I love the way Clifford has responded in what was, going to be a very difficult year for him if he hadn't stepped up. I think you guys, for the most part, if you can get the run game going, I know this sounds cliche, but if the run game is there, then it opens up so much more for you.
Yep.
I frankly thought the Ohio State game was yours to take. I thought you just sort of gift-wrapped it at the end. And, of course, Ohio State had a lot to do with that. Their defense is so improved under Jim Knowles. And, you know, they fooled Penn State a few times with their coverages because of what Knowles does. He takes some chances, and they were able to convert on some of those chances late in the game. And I thought that's what turned it. But I think this has been a much improved Penn State team this year. I think James has got to be really happy with the progress made. Now it's about finishing the deal. You know, you've got a good season underway that could end really great for you if you can run the table. But look, this bunch coming in here is going to put some pressure on your defense. They've got some really good skilled players and a quality quarterback. So, and they're smarting a little bit after what happened with Wisconsin. You know, they got shut down in ways that they haven't been in preceding weeks against anybody. So, and at the same time, Penn State can kind of look at what Wisconsin did and say, okay, you know, we see some weaknesses there, and we should be in good shape. Contrasting styles, too, Steve, which should make for a very entertaining game. Spencer and I are really looking forward to it. We've been spending most of our weeks lately in the Pac-12 and Big 12, so we're really happy to be back in the Big 10 with a game that should have a lot of eyeballs coming off Big Noon. That's generally a good spot for the next game to get a really good rating. So we're enthused and happy to be there.
And I'm looking forward to seeing you. Thanks so much for doing this today. I really appreciate it, Tim, and I can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Well, I'm just sorry I was a little bit late to the party. When you become a granddad, you know, your daughter calls and she suddenly needs you to do something because the 5-year-old is sick, and we got to pick up the 3-year-old who was at the, you know, getting whatever done, and so boom, you just do it, and that's what Big Daddy B does for his grandkids. And
I have seven
back home from that.
I have seven, so I know.
Not grandbabies.
Seven grandkids. Yes.
No, Steve, you're kidding me.
Yes.
Wow.
No.
My goodness.
No.
How many kids? How many children?
Five. Four of the five have children.
Okay. All right. Well, I only had two girls, but they've given me four grandbabies.
What a blessing.
That's it's a blessing. It's so underrated.
You know, you cannot care, overrate grandkids. You cannot. There's no such thing.
That's right. Take care, my friend.
And that is Fox Sports' Tim Brando. And, of course, he never leaves any opinion unturned and always has his emotions on what he feels about college sports on his sleeve. I always look forward to what he has to say of the what's going on currently in college football, college basketball, and the like. That'll wrap it up for this first hour of the show. Coming up in the final hour of the show today, the voice of Rutgers, Chris Carlin, will replay that at 4:06, and then a replay of Neil Rudell from the Altoona Mirror at 4:35. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Humbles Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And every Friday show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Get stocked up now for the weekend. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Football Friday on News Radio 1070 WKOK.